This past week, Lynn and I were taking a look at our church calendar, some upcoming events, and things that we needed to be preparing our hearts and minds for as a worship community. And we fell upon the subject of Holy Week. It's right upon us, right? Right around the corner. Our annual celebration as a faith community here at Ripley Presbyterian, we open our sanctuaries to our community. And we invite others to come and worship with us on this Holy Week just before Easter, when we remember and consider most of all the journey of our Savior and Lord to the cross of Calvary. Our friends in the Roman Catholic faith have a tradition. On that Holy Thursday, we often celebrate a service ourselves, but on that Holy Thursday, the head of their church, most often known as the Pope, has a worship service where he gathers with 12 disciples, 12 ministers, 12 priests, 12 of his underlings, and he offers them a gift of grace. It's called a service of the washing of feet, where the Pope, the head official, the main, most, biggest boss there was in the church, humbles himself and lowers himself, and he takes that silver chalice and he pours that water over the feet of those whom he leads. It's symbolic. It's a reminder of the office, the call to ordained ministry is to serve and live outside of ourselves and care for the world around us. And in many ways, it is a response to a call from Jesus our Lord. The Pope in that action is being faithful. We, those of us who've read the scripture of John, the Gospel of John, hear those words where Jesus gathered with his disciples. That's the historical record. He gathered with them on that Thursday evening before his betrayal, before his denial, before his persecution, and he had a meal with them. And at the close of that meal, John tells us in chapter 13 that Jesus knelt down, washed his friends' feet, and he ended it with this. He said, "You do likewise." You church, you future leaders, you future popes, do what I've done. And our friends in the Roman Catholic faith have adopted that, and they're doing what Jesus said do. They're being obedient. That's the leader of the church. That's how we lead. You know, in our scripture today, this Old Testament text that we hear, this story of Jonah, it tells us that Jonah received a message from God. And here are the words that were spoken. Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. Now, those of us that are familiar with this passage, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Jonah had heard this message once before. God called him in chapter 1 in the very second verse. Jonah heard these same words, and the scripture said that Jonah didn't listen. He went somewhere else. He wasn't obedient. But in this call, the call is crystal clear. No room to get it mixed up or misunderstood. Wouldn't it be nice if God called us in such a way in these modern times? Haven't we all at some point along our journey said, you know, if God would just show me what he wants me to do. If the Lord would just make it clear. If the Lord would just speak to me and say, I want you here, I want you doing that, I want you going this place. Then wouldn't that be remarkable? If we got that clear message in the spirit of Jonah. Or maybe it wouldn't be so remarkable. See, because with that clear message also comes the temptation that I'm afraid that too often I'd want to react like Jonah did that first time he was called. afraid at times I wouldn't want to listen. Be scared and scary if the gray was gone and it was simply black and white and God called me. And what if I was unwilling to listen? But the good news in our scripture today, the good news of the story of Jonah, is that God's call came again. Isn't that refreshing to know, church people? Isn't that good to know, people of faith? That when we blow it, when we in the spirit of Jonah hear the call, feel like we know what God wants from us, and we disobey, we're not faithful, that God doesn't give up on us. You see, Jonah's story in many ways is our story. The call to us to be leaders in the church, to be people that look like Jesus to a world that need to see and experience His love. That God's call and pull upon our life is relentless, just as it was for the prophet Jonah. Now hear this message that Jonah preached. Now I've heard some good sermons over the years, haven't you? I've heard some stale sermons too. Probably given a few of those. Some of you are some of the recipients. No amens at this point, my friends. But this sermon of Jonah, did you hear it? You probably didn't even know it was a sermon. You may be wishing my sermons were this lean. Hear this sermon that Jonah preached. You received it this morning. Says here in verse 4, here it is. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Wow, doesn't really rev my engine, does it yours? Doesn't seem like the most powerful sermon I've ever heard preached. Anybody could have said that, couldn't they? Why did it have to be Jonah? Very simple, one sentence sermon. And look what happened though. It said the entire city repented and turned to God. You know, friends, I'm beginning to suspect it wasn't so much the words that were said or who said them, but the power of the message was that it came from God. The power of the message, the sermon in this text, was that Jonah listened to the call of the Lord. You see, that's what God said to Jonah. He said, go to that great city and say what I tell you to say. You see where Jonah is now, being obedient? Jonah, in the spirit of our friends in the Roman Catholic Church, where the Pope is obedient and he washes the feet of his disciple, he serves the other. They're following in the leadership of their Lord. And Jonah, in the beauty of this text, finally gets it right. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. God doesn't give up. And here's the way we get it right. We don't have to be the greatest preacher in the world. We don't have to preach a 30-minute sermon. We don't have to give millions and live outside of ourselves in this way. We simply do what God has called us to do. And say in the spirit of Jonah what God has called us to say. And God would transform our efforts into victories of grace. Fruitful beyond our imagination. That's what happens in our scripture today. We come this day and we're calling on people in our body of worship. We're asking them to be leaders of the church. And it's time for us to pause and remember, what does that mean? We think about Jonah's call and the commission on them to listen to the words of Jesus, to say what he says. I reflect upon the scripture that Price read with us, that call of the first disciples, the first leaders in the church. Did you hear it? This was right after Jesus' baptism, right after his time in the wilderness and temptation. Jesus went out to call his disciples. Now let's consider a moment. You know, he had a lot of people to choose from, right? If I was starting a church, I'd want the good Bible scholars. I'd want the good church workers. There were a lot of folks in the synagogue he could have chose, right? He could have chose the big leaders in the community, the big money folk, the powerful. But who does Jesus choose to start his church with? Fishermen. Now, I don't have anything against fishermen, Doc. I like to fish, don't you? But fishermen? Of all the folks he could have chosen? Fishermen. I mean, they deal with stinky, sometimes slimy living creatures that can be a little tricky. Maybe he thought it prepared them to specially deal with ministers at some point. That may have been why he picked the leaders. No, Scripture doesn't say that, I don't think. You know, the more I read this text and hear the words that were shared for us from the gospel, I think it wasn't so much the occupation of the fishermen, of why they were called, but it was the dedication of the fishermen. You see, our scripture says Jesus called, and what did they do? They listened, and they followed, and they served. Friends, what makes an elder? What makes a leader in the church of Jesus Christ, whether it's a Presbyterian, a Church of Christ, a Baptist, a Methodist, or a Roman Catholic, what makes a leader? It's the same that it was at the beginning. It's those that are willing to listen and follow the lead of the Lord. That's the most important attribute that we have as leaders in the church, as leaders in the faith community. A willingness to hear again the words that Jesus said when he washed those disciples' feet. He said, "The servant is not above the master. And as I serve you, friends, now go forth and serve the world around you." You see, this high office that we're ordaining today, this high office that we're installing today, it's not a position where the important folks of the church lord it over everyone else. It's the lofty and humble role of being the chief servants of Jesus Christ. The first to volunteer. The first to live outside of self. The first to say, not me, but you and me and the world around us. See, I reflected earlier about that Holy Thursday service that our friends in the Roman Catholic faith participate. And you know, just something mysteriously happened last year when they celebrated that faith. Rather than Pope Francis celebrating that in the St. John Basilica, as it often is the case, he had that service in another venue. He went to a place where juveniles are detained in a detention center. It's another name for calling them inmates, right? Detainees. And he went to their place. And instead of washing the feet of 12 disciples, he washed the feet of 12 juveniles incarcerated for crimes. And I bet some of those feet were a little stinky. Some of those feet were white. Some of them were black. Some of those feet belonged to men, and yes, believe it or not, some of those feet that the Pope washed belonged to women. One of the feet had a tattoo on it. Some of the feet were Catholic. Some of them were Protestant, and yes, one set even were Muslim. And he took that silver chalice and he washed those feet and he said, I do this because I hear the call of Jesus who said, serve the world around me. That's my role as the leader of the church. Friends, that's our call to faith. That's the high office of elder in the Presbyterian Church and yes, ordained ministry. That we live outside of ourselves and become the chief servants of Jesus Christ, loving the world, serving his people, and glorifying our Lord Jesus in everything we do and in what we say.